God bless you all. Trust everybody is well.
Amen.
So, we are going to, Lord being willing, going to do a little Bible study tonight. So, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we're not even going to read the whole verse. We're going to see what we can find in there. If you'd like to stand and join me with respect to the Word of God, that would be wonderful. Just a short text. And it says, in the beginning, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good God. You are the only true God. You are the God that we serve. You're the God we would like to follow. And we ask you to be with us tonight and open your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Where's Josh? He's at home. Okay. Is she okay? Oh, that's good. So, my good friend Josh made me my prop. What? My slice of Swiss cheese. White Swiss cheese for this evening. So we'll get on to that in a second. All right. In the beginning, God. And Brother Don, a few weeks ago, you were talking about that Jewish service you went to, where they say they take the word, and they don't just take the word, they take the syllables, they take the very letters, and they study one letter at a time before they move. And I thought it would be good for us maybe to do a little bit of that this evening. In the beginning, God. And that word there, God, how many know what word that is in Hebrew? Pardon? Elohim. Okay. So, Elohim. And Elohim means the powerful one, God, and it's used in the Bible not just as a name for the God that we serve, but also as a name for any God. So for the false gods, or the false Elohim. The gods of Egypt were the Elohim of Egypt. And sometimes even in thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. That word angels, Elohim, again. So the powerful ones. And I was looking at that, and if you don't have Esau, you should get Esau, and yeah, there's an ancient Hebrew lexicon in Esau. And it goes back into the roots of the word, and it explains where it comes from. So, I'm going to do my best to write Elohim in ancient Hebrew. Now, I'm not an ancient Hebrew scholar. I'm just going off what this says. So you'll have to excuse me. I'm not. We're going to start. Now, you got to remember, they write the opposite way to us. So we start with this. Okay. And that's actually the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's the Aleph. Okay? And that represents, anyone know what that represents? Emanos, the ox. It's a little picture of a pictogram of an ox. Okay? And I thought that's really interesting, because how many know what the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet looks like in ancient Hebrew? No, it's not a yoke. Okay? That's the Alpha. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. This is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, of the ancient Hebrew alphabet in pictogram form, the cross sticks. So when Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, okay, we're talking about, so interesting, in that Hebrew, in that form that he appeared, it's about sacrifice. Now remember, we talked about the four cherubim, lion, ox, man, and eagle, but the beginning of the alphabet is the ox, is that power, is that service to others. And it's so interesting, Jesse, are you on LinkedIn much? A little bit? Anyone on LinkedIn much? No? Okay, so I'm on LinkedIn quite a lot. I'm in sales, I'm trying to, you know, make connections with people. I'm trying to sell. And the interesting thing that I'm noticing on LinkedIn is what's gaining popularity and what's gaining is this idea about how to be a leader, how to and how to be successful, the most successful. Natalia, it's like they're rediscovering Christian principles from the beginning, because they say if you want to be long-term successful in business, as a leader, you have to be a servant. And if anyone's done any like leadership training or anything like that, the term servant leader comes up all the time. Anyone heard that? Yeah? And they're discovering what God is, and he says, at the foundation is the strength that I have to put my life into service. Okay? So that's the first letter of Elohim. Okay, now we're going to get on to the second letter of Elohim. And the second letter of Elohim is, looks like that. Okay, you've already answered once, Emma. Anyone else out there would care to? That is the shepherd's staff, or the yoke. And this is, got to be careful with this. This is my yoke that I had my good friend Josh make for me. And the yoke is something that you use to carry burdens with, to put the burden on the strongest part of the body, and to be able to carry burdens. I didn't bring any burdens because I didn't want to knock anything over. But this is a yoke. Okay? And so, or kind of a, you know, representation of a yoke. It's not Swiss cheese. So the second letter of Elohim is the yoke. And, or the staff, the shepherd's staff, and it has a meaning of teaching and binding and going towards something. Okay? And that's the meaning of that letter. So we have a power in our lives, we have a leader in our lives that is yoked and going towards something and moving towards something. Okay? And that's the first two letters of Elohim. Okay? So, the next letter of Elohim and is this one here in ancient Hebrew. Okay? And that's, so the yoke is the Lamed, and the next one is the Vav. Okay? Any ideas what this is? Oh, even Emma didn't know that, because she knew I was preparing about the ox and the yoke. It's not an oath. Although, we'll come into that, okay? It's not an eagle. It's a tent peg. Okay? It's a fastener. All right? So this is interesting because it's something they, and they describe it as to hang something or to secure something, to add something, to hook something on. So it's the strong yoked power that is hooked, connected to something. Okay? Elohim. All right? And the last letter in that is this. And you may recognize this. What this is. This is the actual Hebrew letter. What do you think it is? Timothy? A man. It is a man. You're quite right. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. If you ask someone to draw a man, they draw this. They're drawing in ancient Hebrew. So, okay. And what that means, that's the letter hey. It's a man with arms raised. It means to look or to reveal, to open something up or to breathe. Okay? Now, I'm going to draw a Hebrew word on the board and I want you to have a guess where you would find this word in the Bible. That there, those two characters. Let's turn to it. Okay? This is really wonderful. A man revealed. A man looking. A man, I've seen something. Okay? Let's turn to Exodus. Chapter 3. Oh, it should sound familiar. Just a little bit. It's amazing how these things connect together. All right? And I love this about God. And I love what we're looking at here. All right? So this is in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And this, is the pictogram for that word that's translated in our Bible as I am. And if we can take that for a moment and think, God is who he is. You don't know who you are. If you knew who you were, you wouldn't have the highs and lows of your experience. Because the highs and lows of your experience come from doing something and realizing, oh, I didn't like that. That doesn't sit with me. Why did I do that? It's because at that point, you have been or you are being something that you're not. Do you understand that? And it causes a conflict inside you that you know you have done something that doesn't line up with what you are on the inside and who you want to be and that perception of who you are. But praise God, we are serving a God who never does anything that's outside of who he is. The strong one bound by an oath. Faithful to himself. He knows who he is and he is who he is. No? Have you ever been someone who you ain't? Okay? Many times. Okay? Have you ever done something where something inside you says, don't say that? And you said it anyway? You aren't being who you are. But he said, I am who I am. So that means I am who I am, and I am not who I am not. I'll never change because I know who I am and I know what I do in every situation. Now, this is our goal, to be that person who is faithful to ourselves and who understands who we are.
This is exciting. Exodus.
Yeah.
They use this phrase, the great.
Okay, start from the beginning. There are people online who want to hear what you have to say.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is exciting. I love this stuff. Exodus 15 that we were studying, when they're talking about the glory, greatness of God and how powerful he is, one of the phrases that they use, glorious and holiness, okay? And we think of holiness, but he's absolutely true to what he is and cannot be anything else. So we can depend on him. And his power cannot be broken. His power cannot be altered or lessened because the gloriousness of what he is in truth to himself.
So as we are on this journey through life, and we are starting more and more to discover who we are so we can be glorious in our own way. Okay? And if we get a true understanding of where we fit with God, then the glory that comes on us is a reflection of his glory. And if, well, we'll get onto that in a second, okay? No, we're still in Genesis 1. Okay, we're still going, we're on the last, this is just a little study on the last letter of Genesis 1. God, Elohim. All right? So what we've got here is the power under authority or yoked to, so it's not just a random power, it's a power with a use that is joined, or that is the person that is joined by this power. Does that, there's a whole bunch of concepts that come together into that Elohim. But I'm going to summarize it in this way. Okay? I'm going to summarize it in this way. It's, well, here's, oh, well, we're getting on for time. Because I'm like two lines in. Taken after you, Don, now. Okay, so this is why this and this is why God said, I swear by myself because I'm the most permanent, unchanging thing that I know of. So I can swear by myself. He knows all things. All right. So here we go. This is the power that you join yourself to get through life. All right? And that's your God. Your God is the power that you are connecting yourself to help you carry the burden of life. All right? So let's have a look at a couple of things of that in action. The question we want to ask ourselves is, what power or powers are we joining ourselves to get through life? Let's turn to Second Book of Kings and chapter 1. And we'll see someone who's joined themselves to a power because of the burden of life. And it says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elisha the Tishbite, arise, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? So there's a man who's sick, who wants to recover, and he says, I need to find the power to yoke myself to that will pull me out of this situation. And he's like, okay, what power can I call on? I can call on the doctors, but I don't think that's strong enough. I could call on my prophets. I don't think they're strong enough. I could call on Jehovah. I don't think he's strong enough. I'm going to send to Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, because that's where I think I can link myself, I can get yoke myself to that power to get through this situation. Okay? So how are you getting through situations in your life? What power are you yoking yourself to really securely to get through situations, to give you the life, the breath, to get through the situations? Okay? The power, and remember, we're reading it this way, the power under yoke, so it's in action, that I am, that's joined by the man, the God. Drugs, maybe. I had a friend in England, and he said he was Scottish. He was a drinker. He was a recovering alcoholic, as they say. He hadn't touched a drink in years. But he said, my life was hard. And people's life is hard. He said, I had problems, money problems, I had this problems, I had that problems. He said, but what I found was, if I went and I started drinking alcohol, I'd have a few drinks, and my problems would start to go away. And I could say to myself, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do this, and I'll do this, and this will all be sorted, and this will be sorted. And when he was drunk, he was in that state where his problems went away. He could carry his problems. Except then he got sober, and he said sometimes he wouldn't go to a public house, or, you know, a pub in England where they drink, for weeks. And he'd turn up and he'd be like, did I do anything bad when I was here last time? Am I still welcome here? Because he'd drink himself to the point where he couldn't remember anything. So he was a man who yoked himself in that period of time in his life to drink, to carry the problems, to be the power that got him through to the next day and the day after that. What is the power that's getting you through every day? The power for some people is politics. This is how we get through life. There's a fine example of that in Acts chapter 12. You know, God never changes, and the truth is, man doesn't change either. Okay? I mean, every one of you, every one of us, are all individual, going through individual experiences, but we're all just the same. Okay? And they were just the same back there. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, they probably bribed him, paid him off. Hey, can you get us a favorable audience? This is lobbying back in Hebrew times. Having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. So they had a burden. Their economy was failing. They needed some powerful friend to get them to a position where they could thrive. And they said, we will yoke ourselves to Blastus. We will yoke ourselves to Herod to get the result that we need to carry us through this hard time. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it's the voice of a god and not of a man. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you haven't seen some of the stuff that surrounded the last president, Mr. Trump, about this is the voice of a god and not of a man, you know, this is just a repetition of those same things. It's really, really interesting. Crazy. But we know these are the crazy times. And immediately, well, this is as much confidence as you can have in politics. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And there's a, right? So what are we yoking ourselves to get through the burdens of this life? Here's one that's kind of dangerous right now. Okay. The power of positive thinking. Okay. The self-help books that you can find. The Jordan Peterson books and advice that he gives. And the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And those books that they give you and say, this is how you can maximize your experience. Anyone read any of those? Or is it just me? Yeah. Just me and Peter, so. And they teach you how to apply yourselves to problems. But really, that's psychology. And the human mind is very powerful. And you can tap into resources. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, we exercise our bodies to keep them healthy, exercise your mind to keep it healthy, but don't make it the power that you rely on to get through life, because you can do that. You can make it that power that you rely on. Because that is really close to faith. It is actually that psychology there is tapping into naturalistic faith. Okay? And that's here. And that's, well, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. All right. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, I am not yoked, I have a need, but that need, what sustains me in that time of need, isn't my ability to turn stones into bread. What sustains me, what gives me the ability to carry a burden, is what I'm yoked to. The word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all this shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. So he's saying, if you just make a confession that I am the power that carries you through the hard times and gives you breath and lets you live, then I'll give it all to you. It'll be so easy. Just bow down to me. Just for a moment. Just take that pinch of incense. You know the story, yeah? Hail Caesar. And you can go about your business. You know that story? You don't know that story? Okay. Oh, this is, okay, we talk about politics and things coming to the, we're getting to this point, folks. We're getting to this point. The Roman Empire was enormous, and it covered most of the known world, and it covered tribes from here and there, and it covered religions from all over the place. And they had a way of keeping the peace. And the way of keeping the peace was, you know what? You can keep your own government. You can keep your own gods. You can keep your own temples and your own priests. Okay? You can keep all of that. All we want you to do is once a year, okay? Now, this is, if you want the roots of this, this is Nebuchadnezzar and this is Daniel. Okay? This is Darius and Daniel. Yeah? Because you think about Darius, and they told him, there are some people who aren't obedient to you, O king. And so for the next 30 days, no one can make requests of any gods, anything else, except for you. Because then you will know that's a sign of political obedience manifest in the terms of worship. Okay? So for most people, no problem. You're not really God, but whatever. I want to get on with my life. I worship Darius. Okay, get on with my life. But those words, that confession, has power. Because what you're doing, when you confess that, you are bringing yourself under the authority of another ruler. And you're saying, yeah, I'll bow my head to that authority. So I believe it was Irenaeus who lived up in the mountain. Okay? And at the time, they were... Everyone just had to come once a year to the Roman temple, take a pinch of snuff and throw it in the fire. The incense would go up and hail Caesar. Caesar is God. And just make that confession that Caesar was God. Now, if you didn't do that, they would kill you. If you didn't do that, they would wipe out your tribe. You remember how serious it was in Esther's time, where Mordecai wouldn't bow, and he was the second guy in the kingdom, Haman, and he said, "I'm not just going to wipe you out. I'm going to wipe out everybody related to you, your whole family, your extended family, your whole nation is going to suffer because you won't bow down to me." I think that spirit isn't still around. Of course, you know it is. And so it's just, there was one group of people in the Roman Empire who were exempted from this. You know who that was? Of course you do. It was the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people would rather die than to confess Caesar as their God. And they had rebellion after bloody rebellion. Until eventually they said, okay, all right, you'll accept our laws, you'll accept our taxes, you'll accept this, you'll accept us as the rulers of your place, we won't put this on you. But the Jewish weren't a real missionary people. They were like, you have to be born a Jew to be a Jew. So it wasn't any kind of political danger, because it's like, they're just Jewish people, they're exempted from this. They don't spread this sedition throughout and that puts a new light on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and why they were worried about a new religion coming up and upsetting that balance. This is turning into a bit of a history lesson. But this is amazing stuff if you can see how this is going. So Irenaeus was up in the hills. The Christians would not confess either because they had that same understanding of the truth of God and the truth of their confession before the world, that they wouldn't confess it, but they would also go and spread it. They would also go and spread it and say, and so this, again, why were the Jews all angry and trying to shut Paul down? It's because they wanted to disassociate themselves from this sect of Judaism that was causing trouble in the empire so they could continue to live in the peace that they had fought for. Okay? So, they called Irenaeus down because you had to do your yearly offering to Caesar. And he hadn't done one in years. And they called him down from the mountain. They said, you need to make your offering. And he wouldn't do it. And he was an old man. I may have the saint mixed up. I'm not sure. I didn't review this. But and the Roman said, I don't want to kill you. Really, I don't want to kill you. You live an easy life. You're up there with your people. They respect you. You're an elder. I don't want to kill you. Just Caesar's garden. We're done. You don't even have to believe it. You just have to say it. And he wouldn't say it. He wouldn't make that confession. And so they had to kill him to maintain the example and the order in the Roman Empire. And we see this today in the certain things that you have to say to be socially acceptable. And it'll get to the point, they'll be like, just say it. It doesn't mean anything. But by your words, you'll be excused. And by your words, you'll be condemned. Don't say anything that isn't true. Don't say anything that gets you outside of following I am that I am. Okay? Be who you are. Be who you want to be. If you're, you know, be God. Alright? You're following me. So, let's see, where were we? Alright. Jesus overcame by yoking himself to God and refusing to yoke himself to Satan. Satan said, oh, just fall down and worship me. Just this one time. I won't ask it twice. Okay? Just one little compromise. And he said, no, I can't compromise. I am yoked to a higher power that won't let me compromise. And it's that power that carries me through this burden, not anything else. Amen. I like this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Oh, I thank thee. Ha. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of earth, heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon thee. Yeah? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many think this is the right way of taking Jesus' yoke on you? No, of course not. Well, it's because you said no. Up you come, Brother Greg. Come on. All right. Yeah, I made it. Well, I had Josh break it deliberately like this. Come on. Yeah. Because here's the thing. The yoke of the ox wasn't for one ox, but it was for two. Okay? It was for two. And you take an older and wiser and more handsome, more intelligent ox, and you would yoke a younger, more foolish, less good-looking ox to that one. And you, where you, come on, square up. square up, wear your yoke properly, get on both shoulders, okay? And then you'd have the older, wiser, more experienced, more powerful ox teach the younger one how to behave, how to pull the burden, how to draw that through the field, how to listen to the farmer and go this way and go that way, how to not to be the ox that has to kick against the pricks because you're always trying to correct the younger, more foolish ox into doing the right thing, okay? And so Jesus isn't saying, take my yoke upon you. He's saying, here I am. I have a yoke and I have a space for you in this yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me and let me be your God. Let me be the ox that you yoke yourselves together with to carry this burden through life. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it's too heavy for you, because I've got good broad shoulders. And I will carry most of it for you. I'm just asking you, I will teach you how to carry this burden through life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll show you how to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. I'll show you how to walk in a way that's overcoming to the devil. Should have done this with a translator, because then we could have had English and Spanish. But you understand?
Amen.
You comfortable there, Brother Greg?
It's fine.
You want to go back to your family?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm left carrying my burden all on my own. Because that isn't the only yoke that's spoken of. Oh, better be careful. I don't want to knock this over. There's a cello over there, so I'm being careful. All right. That isn't the only yoke that's spoken of in the Bible, in the New Testament. Okay, and we see Jesus taught his disciples. But the question is, what are you yoking yourself to? And we've talked about politics, and that's fine. And we can maybe say that in a little bit we're yoked to politics, but we can get away from that. And we talk about drugs, and I hope nobody here has that problem. But if you have that problem, you can get away from it. But you can yoke yourself to the Word of God in a way that's detrimental to you. Okay? Did you know that? All right. Let's turn to Acts chapter 15. So, just talking of the church in Antioch, and it says in verse 1, it says, and certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and then said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done to them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, and saying that it was needful to circumcise them, to command them to keep the law of Moses, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and putting no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. And if we turn over to Galatians chapter 5, I think it is, we'll see this in another light, but it's the same situation. You know, this is getting kind of uncomfortable, especially around my neck. But you think about it, if you had this shifting around you, and they took rags, and they put them underneath the yoke to protect the neck of the cattle, of the people that are, you know. And that's the swaddling clothes that Jesus was wrapped in. Wrapped in the padding for the oxen, the rags, the refuse that they use just to pad that neck area. Maybe a little bit of blood on it, maybe a little bit of sweat on it. No? That's quite something, isn't it? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, the Bible says that. I'm going to take this off. Okay? Because if you're yoking yourself to the law, to the I must do this, I must do that, or I'm not going to make it, you're yoking yourself to a yoke of bondage that you cannot do those things that are contained in the law. Jesus came by grace to get you out of that situation. Be not entangled. Are you yoked to the law? That's a heavy burden. It's not something that's going to help you carry. It's something that's going to drag you down. So, the yoked ox that you're joined to, that the man is joined to carry the burdens of life. If you yoke yourself to the wrong thing, you can carry that burden maybe for a while, but it will fail. But if you yoke yourself to the wrong part of the Word of God, and to the, I must do this, I must do that, in order to get grace in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, in order to make it into the rapture, you're yoking yourself not to something that will help you carry that burden, but to something that will drag you down, and you will not be able to bear that burden through life. The life will crush you, and the law will crush you. You really need to yoke yourselves with the yoke of liberty to Jesus, who said, you know what? I'm here to carry your burden for you. I'm big enough to do it all on my own, but you know what? I want you to learn how to do it too. I want you to have a part of this. Okay? I want you to be, you know, little Luke at home. He loves to help me out. If I'm raking in the garden, he wants to rake in the garden for a little while, and then he'll go play. Okay? But I want to teach him how to handle that burden and say, you know, this is work. To the point where, you know, Elisha's on, he's going to leave home. I had him rake the whole yard front and back. It's like, you better do that. Teach him some, use for his spare time. I want to get you, Luke, to that level. And the reason isn't because I'm fat and lazy, although sometimes I feel fat and lazy. The reason is because one day, if the Lord tarries, they're going to be men with their own houses and with their own yards to rake. And I want to give them that ability and that mindset that, oh, this is how we do that. This is how we get through life. Okay? And God wants to give you that ability, because he doesn't want you just to hang around and not carry any burden. Okay? He wants to carry your burden, and then he wants to say, hey, that brother over there, that sister over there, they're kind of burdened. They're kind of in need. And I've shown you how to put your shoulder to the harness. You know, and I think that's a big enough burden. Or rather, I think that's a small enough burden, if you like. It's too big for them. But I've trained you. Go and carry it for them. Go and yoke yourselves together with them. Pick up that burden. Make their life easier. I've shown you how to do it. So what are we yoking ourselves to in this day and age? What is our God? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, if I've said anything wrong or the wrong way, it's come across wrong, bring it to your light. But words of truth that have been spoken, I pray, Lord, that they would come into our hearts and help us to live connected, yoked together with you, giving you our burdens and taking on the burdens of others as you've taught us. We ask you, Lord, to look on us mercifully as we try in this dark age to live our lives for you. Forgive us our sins. Let us know who we are more and more, and let us walk in who you show us we are more and more, that step by step we can come into the stature of the fullness of Christ and be your servants and be your sons and daughters and be pleasing to you when we get to the other side. Give us courage for the battle. Bless us as we go our separate ways, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you want to come and dismiss the folks? Are they done? Okay. Well, what shall we sing to dismiss? I know. Oh, Sister Laura? Okay. I think we know this song. Come we that love the Lord and let your joy... give us a chord for that. I probably picked a horrible one. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord. Join in the song with sweet accord. And us around the throne. And us around the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upwards to Zion. The beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. Beautiful city of God, the hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred seats. Reach the heavenly fields before we reach the heavenly fields of war. God be with you until we meet again, Lord willing, on Sunday or whenever it is. Let's fight the fight and let's take on the yoke of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all.